What's going on? Thank you for tuning into another episode of California Underground. I'm your host Phil. Oh my gosh, I haven't had my tea yet, so I'm a little off tonight. I'm your host Phil, as always, with my co-host Camille, and then we have our guest tonight is Osvaldo. He is a Second Amendment advocate. He made sure to let me know that he is a Second Amendment advocate to make that very clear. And we're going to be talking about. Yeah, Second Amendment instructor and Second Amendment advocate. And he has taught me to change my language and say that we are restoring Second Amendment rights. We are not expanding Second Amendment rights. We are restoring our Second Amendment rights because we always had them. They just were taken away from us. He's been a guest before. Would love to have him on. Not the best subject to talk about with the two shootings that have happened in the past week in California. But as always, with any sort of shooting that happens across the country, but here in California specifically, what's the first thing everybody always goes to? They always go right to the gun control. I would make an argument that now it's a knee-jerk reaction of gun control and a race issue. They were wrong on both of them. So we'll get into all that as well as what Noodle said about all of this. So Camille, Osvaldo, how are you guys doing tonight? Are you ready to get into some Second Amendment talk?
Good. I'm excited to hear what Osvaldo has to say. I know this is something he's very passionate about. So.
I'm doing great. I really appreciate the invite, Phil, and glad to be here.
Yeah. And for those who are watching on video, I am rocking my Second Amendment mug tonight. So, switching it out specifically for this episode. So let's get right into it. There were two shootings that happened in the past week. One was Monterey Bay, Monterey Park and Half Moon Bay. Two different locations, two different instances. Monterey Park was tragic. They were both tragic. And at Monterey Park, they had an immediate reaction to what it was. First reaction was, we need more gun control, which in California is crazy to think that we need any more gun control that would have stopped this. And second, that this was some sort of race issue, that it's always white supremacists. They quickly backed off that when they found out who the actual shooter was. So let's just jump right into it. Osvaldo, what do we know about Monterey Park and what happened? And would more gun control have stopped what happened in Monterey Park?
Oh my gosh, where do I start? Monterey Park happened, by all intents and purposes, looks like it was somebody who had grievances with either the staff and or patrons of the dance studio. The gentleman apparently attended the dance studio for many years, apparently by the accounts of witnesses and people who were in there. Apparently, the gentleman just was not the most congenial patron of the establishment, and people had a really hard time dealing with him in that place. And apparently, that and probably God knows what other combination of factors sent this man off, and he went and did the horrible deed that he did, that he committed. Would any new law other than the bajillion laws that we have done anything? No. The left and Democrats love to resort to we need more background checks, right? Background checks, universal background checks. There is no background check that can look into someone's heart. It just does not work that way. Okay. And besides that, the gentleman, I shouldn't use that word, the man that committed that attack in Monterey Park, the main firearm that he used was a very old, what's known colloquially as a Mac 10, is a very old school farm. Apparently, he bought it back in the late 90s, 1999 to be exact. That's what LA County sheriffs said. And he modified it with a home built suppressor. I don't, for whatever reason, he thought he needed that, and he used that to commit this horrible crime. So, yeah, I don't know. The gun, by the way, the gun has been, that particular gun, along with many others, due to the safe handgun roster that we have in California, was outlawed. But what happens when, what happened with the majority of the firearms that were outlawed by the safe handgun roster? Excuse me. People kept them. Who was going to go? Oh, wow. My gun is outlawed now. I guess I should turn it into the police.
No. All right.
Yeah.
So he sat on that gun. And sadly, a few days ago, he used it to commit this horrible crime. So, yeah, no. In my opinion, I don't know what law can prevent evil. There's no such thing.
Yeah, and this one, I mean, it's always so predictable when you hear these tragic stories happen. And whenever you hear the news happen on this, the first thing that everybody rushes to social media and Twitter and says, oh, you know, this is what happens in gun happy America. And your rights are not, you shouldn't have the right, or I shouldn't have to worry about being gunned down in public. So therefore I should take your right away. And I found it interesting that the first reaction for a lot of these shootings is always to call out that it's a white supremacist. I don't know how they think it's always a white supremacist, but that's just their knee-jerk reaction, is that it's always a white supremacist. The rhetoric obviously gets, like, toned down and dialed back once they find out who the shooter is. And there's a running joke that, like, as soon as they find out the ethnicity of the shooter, if they're not white, all of a sudden the story just disappears. If you never follow, like, Freedom Tunes or anything like that, Freedom Tunes actually released a funny cartoon this week about shootings. And whenever they find out the shooter is not, it's not white, that they just forget about the story.
And it happens. It happens as someone of melanated, you know, characteristics, however, priding myself in being objective, I see it, and I see it all the time. If it's the race that fits the current narrative, which is, you know, white man evil, they run with it. If it's not, it disappears, like, oh, within 24, 48 hours, it's just gone. And it's incredible because it's an incredible injustice to the memory of those whose lives were taken by the perpetrator. And it waters down, you know, the morality about it. It waters down, you know, how is it that a crime committed by a certain segment of the population is more abhorrent than by another? It's no.
Yeah.
You brought up hate crimes. They go first things first. They ask, "Oh, what kind of firearm was it?" If somebody says long gun, it was an AR-15. Long gun equals AR-15, and then the tweets start flying. By the thousands, quick. Quick, AR-15. They start going to the evil black rifle. And almost equally as important, they start asking what was the race of the perpetrator. I don't know why, because still the people whose lives were taken, they're still equally as gone.
Yeah. That's a really good point. And they do. It is kind of sad how they just... they kind of diminish the tragedy by not paying attention because they cannot score more political points out of it.
Correct. It's horrible.
If this was a white shooter and a dance hall full of Asian Californians who are celebrating the Lunar New Year, this story would be dragged out in the news month after month after month. Absolutely. It would be a national story. President Biden would be out here. It'd be a whole thing. But the fact that it was an Asian shooter and Asian attendees, it's already starting to lose muster, and they're already like moving on from it. I mean, even Governor Newsom is moving on from it and starting to pivot what he's talking about politically. So it is a tragedy, and that I guess we can jump into the other one, which happened just a couple days later, which is this shooting in Half Moon Bay, which was up in Half Moon Bay Farms. The shooter's name was Chun Li Zhao. He was 66. He was booked on suspicion of 7 counts of murder and 1 count of attempted murder. They believe he acted alone. He went into one mushroom farm, opened fire, killing 4 and leaving another seriously wounded. He then drove to another nearby farm where he previously worked and killed another 3 people. Some were Asian, others were Hispanic, and some were migrant workers.
So a farm worker.
Farm workers, yeah. So he enacted this, he went on this shooting. And again, I feel like it the initial reaction was, oh, here we go again with the mass shootings and a white supremacist, da da da. And then they found out the shooter was Asian. It's already starting to lose steam. And, you know, you may have made the point of the entire podcast. If nobody else takes this away from this podcast, Osvaldo, I think you made the best point already, which is the fact that they cannot get political points out of this diminishes the tragedy that these poor people who lost their lives in this tragedy, because politicians cannot get their political points out of it. Their story is now just going to be swept under the rug and they're going to move on. So no one's really going to care about it anymore, which is the saddest part of all of this.
What I will add to that is there is and I can see it as a Second Amendment advocate, there is an immense amount of pushback. I see it in all their platforms, especially on Twitter, Instagram, wherever, you know, Noodles goes and makes his idiotic statements. I can see it's starting to shift. I see a preponderance now of the comments of people challenging what it is that he's saying, and people and it's fascinating. It is both refreshing at the same time that it is painful, because we're still talking about loss of life, right? Of innocent life. However, I see people challenging him back, pushing back, saying, what are you trying to do? So you want to take my guns away now because of the bad deeds of somebody who let evil into their heart? No.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'll say that is somewhat refreshing for someone who feels like myself. I feel like I'm in behind enemy lines when it comes to trying to defend the Second Amendment in the state of California.
Yeah. Something I think Osvaldo, you actually said it the other day, but something I always say is, hey, to murder someone is already illegal. Hey, you know, that's a crime. It's against the law. But they always jump to the gun argument immediately, you know, the race, the gun argument. And something I actually, this is kind of a legal question for you, Phil. Newsom was just signed back into office for a second term, and he swore under oath. And like his, you know, his exact words were, well, now I should probably read it. So I say his exact words were, I, Gavin Newsom, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California. And yet he is relentlessly attacking the Second Amendment, that is not defending the Constitution of the United States. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, if we were to hold every politician accountable for that oath, we'd be tar and feathering a lot of politicians, because
yes.
so Let's many do of it. them, Yeah, so many of them don't listen to their oath to the Constitution and the way they trample on it. So, I guess their way around it is, well, we can make the argument that the Second Amendment should be, regulated or kind of infringed upon in certain ways. But yeah, I agree. No politician really holds up to that oath ever.
Okay, question again then, because what you just said about Second Amendment can be regulated. 2008, D.C. versus Heller went to the Supreme Court. Didn't they say in that you can't regulate a constitutional right away?
Yes, there was language about, because it was a licensing scheme to get a handgun, and they were preventing somebody in the District of Columbia from getting a handgun. So they're basically saying you can't license a constitutional right, which still isn't really being listened to. The biggest thing that came out of DC versus Heller was that you do have a right to own a firearm in your home. So that was sort of a monumental shift in Supreme Court jurisprudence when it comes to the Second Amendment. That was really the first one, DC versus Heller, where they said, yes, you have a right to own a firearm for protection of your home. And then we most recently got the Bruin decision, which was an amazing decision, that you are allowed to now carry outside. That is a protected constitutional right under the Second Amendment. So slowly but surely, we are restoring our Second Amendment rights. I think that's funny that. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I add something? Yeah. So the D.C. versus Heller decision, and it was the late Justice Scalia who wrote that decision. The left, that although as monumental as a decision as it was, there is a point of contention in that decision. I wouldn't call it contention, but we in the Second Amendment advocacy realm, we do identify a small portion of that decision that was flawed. And that is that Justice Scalia did say, and I'm not quoting, I'm paraphrasing, that the Second Amendment is not without regulations that merit it, or something to that effect. He left some wiggle room for regulation. And that is what the left has hung on for a very long time, to incrementally establish infringements onto the Second Amendment.
Well, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
Yeah.
Just as a quick shout out for anybody who is watching live in the chat, if you have any questions or comments for any of us, feel free to throw those in the chat. I'll be watching the chat.
I'm not charging.
So yeah, it'll be free advice all night long. We're not charging for anything.
That's why I'm really here. Yeah. I just want 1 hour of free legal advice.
Everybody in the world wants 1 hour of free legal advice. Why don't we go ahead and watch straight from the horse's mouth? Why don't we watch Noodles and what he said about this? I know Osvaldo is going to.
Must we? Probably, must we really?
Well, we should. I mean, it's our job to kind of comb through this bad stuff. And we do it for the people. I mean, at least you weren't on the episode where we went through his whole inauguration speech.
Oh, snap.
Unless you were watching.
Yeah, I watched it.
So let's cue this up. This is some of the stuff that he was saying before. Obviously, this is all going to make great presidential campaign video. So this was one on CBS. So let's play this one.
So it's I mean, I get it. We're going to talk about the anomalous nature of this thing. But what is also anomalous is the fact that there's a pattern here in the United States of America. This question doesn't exist anywhere else in the world, just for you. And maybe that should be the fundamental focus. large capacity plants.
What did he say? What did he say? Large capacity.
Large plants. Capacity.
This is the guy who wants to regulate your guns, and he doesn't know the correct verbiage.
Large capacity clips. There is no such thing. There are standard capacity magazines, and there are reduced capacity magazines, which are the ones that, by the infringements of the state of California, good California citizens are subjected to.
I mean, that's one of those examples of he's saying that's a problem, but high capacity magazines are not available in California. So that's already right. Something, right? Do I have that right?
Right. I'm sure that's what he meant, but yeah, those are illegal in California.
Correct. They are not lawful. We do have a outstanding lawsuit in the works, which, hopefully very shortly will be, that law will be declared unconstitutional, and we will get restored our right to our standard capacity magazines. But yes, those magazines have been outlawed for a while here in the state of California, but by golly, guess what? People willing to commit murder are still using them. They're not subjecting themselves to the 10-round magazine limitation. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Someone in the chat said, hopefully it will be overturned soon by St. Benitez. And if you don't know that reference, that's Judge Robert Benitez down here in the Southern District, who's very pro Second Amendment. Anything that comes out of California, pro Second Amendment, usually comes through him. So let's go St. Benitez.
Just insane. There's no justification for it to stop. It's insane. These people are perpetuating lunacy and should be ashamed of themselves.
When you say the Second Amendment is a suicide,
feels like it increasingly.
But there's many people in this.
I'm not really quite sure what he means by he feels like the Second Amendment is a suicide pact. That's some odd, like, what does he mean by that? It's a suicide pact that we're all bound.
I'm trying to figure that out too.
Yeah. I mean, people made a
like
big deal
if you,
about it. Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like I think what he's saying is if you want to advocate for guns, you're basically giving someone the right to kill you within themselves. I think that's where he's going with that.
Yeah. Something to that effect that the root of all evil is the guns, as if for the history of society, of humanity, prior to guns, murder didn't happen.
Yeah. Right.
Basically.
Murder. I don't know how they killed Julius Caesar, but
No, they did. It's a mystery. Yeah,
it's a mystery. There were no guns in the Roman Empire times, but somehow Julius Caesar was murdered. So,
I support lawful gun owners. Yeah, I have great respect. I have no ideological opposition.
So, in the span of 1 minute. He goes from talking about how all these people who cling to their guns and perpetuate this lunacy, as he calls it, should be ashamed of themselves. Mm-hmm. He then goes on to say his political brain is working overtime because he's at one hand, he's saying, well, I'm the governor of California, so I have to spew this progressive crap. But in the back of his head, he's going, oh, no, wait, hold on.
But I'm trying to
run for president someday, and I got to win over those dumb Iowa voters in the Midwest. So, I have no problem with people who own guns lawfully, except that I think that they should be ashamed of themselves. Have you ever gotten the warm and fuzzy feeling from Gavin Newsom that if you are a law-abiding, reasonable gun owner in California, that he's just fine with that? He's fine. The fact that you can own a gun, he doesn't care as long as you get your background check, man. It's all cool. Do whatever you want. I love that. You know, I love gun owners like that. Do you get that feeling from Gavin Newsom that that's his mantra on people who own guns in California?
Seeing as how I'm a member of the GOP and he attacks the GOP no less than 10 times per day, no, he hates everything about me. There's no Mormon fuzzy feelings here. Add that I'm a gun owner. And it's like, he probably wants me to die by gun.
I believe, I'm like, not sure if it's coming here or he said it in another setting, but he is fine with the guns as long as they're in a safe. You know, I am absolutely fine with your guns as long as they're locked up and unloaded and all that. And so you take them out whenever you go hunting, because that's what they say, right? Mm-hmm. That the Second Amendment is for hunting.
But don't kill animals, because that's inhumane.
Immoral, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely not getting the warm and fuzzies from Gavin Newsom when it comes to him respecting responsible gun owners. Which the majority of gun owners are. The overwhelming majority of gun owners are responsible gun owners who take care of it. It's always this tiny percentage.
Like his, like, his unseen six-armed security guards that are off the scene of this camera.
Yeah. 360-degree security. Yeah, 360-degree security. In that segment right there, and which is amazing, most people caught it. They were like, as you're disparaging the Second Amendment, as you are flanked, surrounded by armed guards, and I guarantee you they do not have 10-round magazines. Guarantee.
No. They get
extensions. You mean large capacity clips?
Large capacity clips.
Yeah, of course they got large capacity clips.
They're walking around with large capacity clips.
Yeah. Yep. You bet.
Never suggested that. That's what they immediately do. No one wants to take away your guns. I just want to take away weapons of war that are illegal on the streets of California. It should be illegal across the United States.
Weapons of war. This is one of, I'm sure, your favorite phrases, Osvaldo. What is a weapon of war that you can own in the state of California?
Zero. What they hang on to are purely, mostly cosmetic features. The black rifle, right? If it's black and it's immediately scary. If it's not a wooden stock, because wooden stock firearms are the good ones, are the ones that do not give you evil thoughts. With that, immediately when you hold that wooden stock, you immediately become Elmer Fudd and you just want to put on your hat and go hunt rabbits. No, the black firearms are the ones that make you a murderer. And if they have a pistol grip, that if that rifle has a pistol grip, you're immediately a mass murderer. And it just, those evil thoughts permeate into your brain and they just can't get out. I gotta get off my soapbox. I went a little bit long on that one.
But well, that's why we invited you on, is to get on your soapbox. For people who don't know, Osvaldo is also a veteran. So when asking if you can own any weapons of war, he would know very well, can you own a weapon of war? And that's always their favorite thing, is it's a weapon of war, because an AR-15 looks like a big, scary black rifle. And it's not a weapon of war. Is that the standard issue rifle that you got while you're in the military? It was the Marines, correct?
Correct. No, it's not. In the military, in the United States military for quite some time, and now that they're going through different refresh of their hardware, it's still, it's going to be a select fire. It's going to be a rifle, typically, that allows for either semi-automatic fire or three-round burst or full auto. And those would be technically your weapons of war. However, I will say this, the vast majority of the free states, not California, you can own machine guns. It's just extremely expensive. It is the laws at the federal level that were passed. People say that machine guns are outlawed. No, they're not. They can't be manufactured anymore since 1983, 1984, I believe, or 1986 is one of those 3 years. that machine guns were outlawed for manufacturing, but any machine gun that that was created before that, prior to that, can still be transferred. It's just incredibly expensive, which in turn makes only extremely wealthy people able to own these, because they pay the exorbitant amounts of taxes to the government, can go through the extensive background and acquire these. The only other way that machine guns can be manufactured are if you are a if you have a special designation as a firearms manufacturer. I won't go too into detail about that, but yeah.
I have a comment.
Sure.
On this clip, okay. Right here, it says something about, you know, getting
this
the guns off.
Large capacity clip we're watching.
Yes, get the get them off the streets of California. How about we start with getting the criminals off the streets of California and back into the jails that Gavin Newsom released, and maybe the homeless people, and then maybe I'll be willing to talk about these large capacity clips. But you know, come on, Gavin, let's look at the real problem here.
It's got to be. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm so glad you bring that up, Camille, because I've been bringing it up now for a while. You all these folks fail to bring up the mafia, cartels, mob, the gangbangers, and the crooked cops that have no problem in dealing, you know, in the black market, all these firearms. But and the Moms Demand Action groups and the Every Towns for Gun Safety and the Newtown for Gun Safety, all these programs and nonprofits, they do their rallies in their posh communities, in the malls. You will never see them in the hood. You will never see them in the inner city, in the back alleys where the crime happens, where the people that are holding the guns that are actually committing crimes with those guns, you will never see them having one of those rallies. They're demanding that the criminal element hand them their guns. You won't see them do that. You will never see Gavin Newsom walking through, you know, a actual crime hidden, ridden area of any city without it prior, being prior, sanitized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would love to tell this to his face.
Yeah. It's a double-edged sword, because they want to allow more crime to happen, yet they also want you to take away your self-defense mechanisms, which it's got to be one or the other. I mean, between us who are sitting here talking about it, I'm not going to give up the right to self-defense, but you should at least be cleaning up the streets. So they want you to be defenseless while also being living in these dangerous neighborhoods. All right, let's see what else he, you know, we'll finish this video.
Before you continue, I'll just throw in something really quickly. We often say in the Second Amendment community, making good people defenseless won't make bad people harmless.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It just does not work that way.
Yeah. I like that. Oh, that was it. Okay. There's another one. Let's see what he has to say.
But I was looking back at these same notes, and it starts, it's right here, right up on the right corner. It says Aurora.
That freaking grin, man. I just.
Is that a Midland?
And that grin.
Orlando.
It's a slimy grin. That's for sure.
Buffalo. Poway, Parkland, San Jose, Sutherland, Sandy Hook, Boulder.
Okay, this is him just naming off stuff. We don't. He's asking Congress to act.
Naming off.
Let's see what he has to say.
Mass shootings have happened.
Because
that's what he has to say on CNN. So.
stories are devastating.
And for those who are not watching, it says California Governor Newsom shames GOP for blocking stricter gun, because it's always those darn GOP members just blocking these. Why won't you think of the children? That's always their reply.
Yep.
Why won't you give up your rights to defend yourself for the children?
For the children. Yeah.
And devastating, because the stories are not just about a bullet wound or a loved one's life lost. It's myriad of issues. It's the person that's on the hospital bed whose leg is shattered. They just put a rod in the leg. He says, I need to get out of here because I can't afford the health care bills. Or I need to get out of here because I can't lose my job tomorrow. The farm workers here who literally said, I have no paycheck today. I have no cash. I can't even buy food tonight. I mean, the complete abject failure on immigration policies exposed yesterday and today. The complete, utter, abject failure of common sense on gun safety and immigration policy. So for me, I guess maybe, you know, after 22 days and 32 trillion gallons of water falling on the state and being in a crisis of droughts and floods, and now two mass shootings in 3 days.
The perfect line for him to say after this is, after all this, I guess it's time for me to resign because I haven't handled any of this stuff correctly. I haven't handled immigration correctly. I haven't handled gun safety correctly. I haven't handled 32 trillion gallons of water falling on the state correctly, because now we're still going to be in a drought. I guess that means I'm a bad governor and I should resign. That should be his next line. Do you think that's going to be his next line?
No, I think he's going to say, I have another event to get to. So someone call my hairdresser so that I can get my hair regelled.
Yeah, yeah.
Phil, on a serious note, Phil, like you always say, Democrats have been in control of California for decades. If they really want all this legislation to pass, they could have passed it. They could have fixed all these issues. And while this story that you just told is really sad about the guy who's like, I can't stay in the hospital to heal because I've got to go get a job or get to my job because I don't have any money in the bank. That guy woke up with that issue. The shooting didn't change that issue. He doesn't have any money in the bank. The shooting didn't change that. Now, I'm not trying to take away from the shooting. That's really tragic. And I get the point of the story. But Newsom, we are dealing with crazy taxes. This guy fixed that problem. Like, look at that guy and go, why don't you have any money in the bank? Like, if you're working every day, how come you have no money in the bank today? Is it maybe because I'm not fixing a damn thing in the state and you can't afford to live here anymore? Like, stop and think about that for a second. But, you know, he's just thinking about his hair appointment, so.
Yeah, yeah. Is it because you for the last, for the last half year or more, you haven't been able to afford the gas tank for your commuting to and from work, and the insane grocery prices for your family? Is it because of that? And because of my legislature has failed at every opportunity to provide tax relief, for example? No. You won't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I've said before. If progressive policies worked, California would be a utopia. Mm-hmm. And merch on sale in my store if you're interested in showing that off. Subtle plug. But yeah, it's.
I'm pretty sure I own that one.
You're right on the nose here that California has had the ability to basically ram whatever it wants through, all the progressive policies it wants. Nobody's stopping them at this point at the state level. They can ram through laws and regulations, whatever they want. So why are there things that are so still catastrophically so bad in California? Probably because your policies don't work. And that's the bottom line. Like, if you press anybody in California and say, well, why don't we have universal health care in California? You could ram that through. Oh, because Gavin Newsom wants to run for president and he doesn't want socialized medicine. That's going to probably, because he knows it will likely collapse in California and then it will look horrible for the rest of the country. Why don't you fix the gas prices because you're stuck on this green energy thing, and you have to go forward with it. And you've made this pledge now. You've made this pact with the greenies and the environmentalists that you have to get rid of all the fossil fuels. So here we go. We got to do that. We can't fix this unilaterally.
And their entire party probably has stock on it.
That's true. So if he wants to get stuff done, he has a supermajority in the legislature. He can just go to him and say, hey, I want to get this done. And there would be a bill on his desk right away. Like, there's no, I don't know, there's nothing stopping them from getting stuff done. And the fact that they try and blame the Republicans for anything in California is laughable, because they have no power at the state level to block anything.
He's made a comment recently, like, the state of California won't do it, so it's on you, Congress. Which, I'm like, okay.
Why won't the state of California do it, is the question. I'm sure Scott Wiener would.
That is a great question.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, someone like Scott Wiener would love to take a crack at gun violence if you can get him to stop writing bills to protect trans children or whatever he wants to focus on that day.
Wiener is just waiting for Gavin to give him the, I'm sure he's just waiting for him to give him the go ahead, and he's just going to slap it around his desk and be like, here, it's ready. I've had it ready to go.
Yeah. Ready to go. All right, let's see what else he has to say.
I guess I'm a little more prone to express myself about my frustrations with what I'm not seeing nationally, and particularly in Congress right now.
Oh, okay.
We need the federal government to do its job. This is on everybody. We've chosen this. This is our decision to live in these conditions. It doesn't exist anywhere else in the world. So we've chosen this. We've accepted this. We can sit there and say thoughts and prayers, or we can look in the mirror and say, this is the price, I guess, of whatever. Fill in the blank. Freedom.
I think that's a perfect way to freeze frame him right there. Freedom.
Yeah.
Air quotes. Freedom. Really?
So slimy.
Is this the price we have to pay for freedom? I'm sorry.
He did say that California is the freest state. As much as a joke that was.
Yeah, California is the state of total freedom. But
and I guess this is the price we pay.
This is the price you pay to have so much freedom here in California.
Yeah, you asked me about my thoughts about that. You know, it's fascinating to see authoritarians, right, disparage the basis of this country. What made this country outstanding, and what makes people from all walks of life of many different countries risk their life, even break our laws to get in here. As bad as it is. That's the context that I can bring as somebody who knows plenty of immigrants. They still flock to us by whatever means necessary, whether it's legally or illegally. As bad as it is still the beacon of hope for the entire world. And I will say, and it is a cliche, but it is a true one, the right that has secured that freedom has been the Second Amendment. It has been an armed populace. Because when authoritarianism rears its ugly head into government systems, which is the natural progression of every government system, going from freedom to authoritarianism and totalitarianism, we've had armed Americans to, you know, deter them. Yeah. And that's the difficult conversation that not a lot of people like to hear about it, but it is true. An armed population is harder to oppress.
Yeah. And you never hear politicians talk about it that way, because I think they know that's honestly the reason for it. So they have to wrap it up in, well, we know an armed populace is harder to control. Therefore, we have to try and take your guns through another method, which is guilt and shame and emotions,
correct,
all of this stuff, to get you to give them up willingly, or force you to give them up. So it's not, you know, and it comes down to, it's not always, they're not going to tell you straight up that they want you to not be armed because it's easier for you to control. They'll do it through other means. So
I'll say another thing, to caveat on what you just said, Phil. They won't tell you to your face that they are wholly incapable of protecting you, of fulfilling that promise of safety that they did. Vote for me and I will make you safe. I will keep you safe. Vote for me, Mr. Yeah. and Mrs. Politician, and I will make sure the latest one who said it was, what's her name? The one that became the LA mayor, Karen Bass.
Yeah.
Is that her name? She said it. And yes. I went right to her Twitter page when she said it. She posted that video and I said, no, you cannot promise to anyone that you are going to make them safe. That is a promise you will fail to deliver.
Mm-hmm. Where it are her guns exactly? The ones that were stolen out of her home?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they were safely secured.
You think that those are in a legal background check to gun owners' hands? A law-abiding citizen?
Of course they are, Camille. Come on. Yeah.
It was one law-abiding gun owner taken from another law-abiding gun owner.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading an interesting article, I think it was the LA Times, who was talking about how the new LA County Sheriff, Robert Luna, who was not the guy who should have won, and for everybody who was a Republican who said, I'm not going to show up for Villanueva because he is a Democrat, well, congratulations. You got this guy now who is horrible. They kind of grilled him on, why did it take so long for you to respond and let people know that there was a mass shooter on the loose? And they talked to previous chiefs, previous higher ups in law enforcement. They all said the same thing, which was, I don't understand why you would not have let people know that there was a mass shooter on the loose, so that you could take proper precautions to protect yourself. But this is just on your point that politicians will promise that they'll keep you safe, and then someone like the sheriff of LA County is not even keeping the people of LA County safe because he did not let them know that the shooter was on the loose. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, they'll promise safety, give up your way to defend yourself and we'll keep you safe. Mm-hmm. But then when they have mm-hmm. the actual power, they're not going to keep you safe. All right, let's finish this video out. And then you wanted to have some stuff to talk about, before we finish up. Got about 10 minutes left to go.
This is the price. I get freedom. Freedom from what? To have your kid only do 6 or 7 drills to hide under the desk each and every year, as opposed to 2 or 3? Freedom from what? Having complete vulnerability, being anywhere in a crowd, dancing.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oop. Story. You're devastated.
Wait, we're done with you. Sorry, Noodles. It's enough of you.
Exactly.
That's enough of you.
I can only handle him in small capacity. Sorry.
Small bite size.
Yeah.
Small capacity clips is all I can handle of him.
Don't want to barf too much.
Small capacity, not as opposed to large capacity clips. So obviously this is the price we pay for freedom. According to Gavin Newsom, it's a tragedy, but he does have no problem with law-abiding, responsible gun owners. So Asval, you wanted to talk about, you had some things you wanted to bring up as well to talk about, in terms of, I think, women in self-defense and, you know, why they should exercise their Second Amendment more. So I wanted to give you the chance to talk about that as well before we close out tonight.
Absolutely. And I appreciate it. I often tell my women students, and I am proud to say that the vast majority, over 90%, 95% of my students are women, because they women are the have been for the last probably 5 years the largest demographic purchasing firearms and getting trained. Okay, we've had a massive cultural shift where women are being empowered, whether they are single women or by their, you know, significant others, what have you, to get armed and get trained because they understand. They can see it. They go out in town and they have this creepy dude or this weird van that follows that, that they've seen following them around the, you know, shopping center, parking lot or what have you. And that is how real life provides an impetus, right, for people to take their security into their own hands. Because there's nothing like real life to actually give you that gut check. Oh, cops are not going to be everywhere. You know what I mean? And cops cannot be everywhere. We do not want a society where cops are everywhere. And I, that's something that I've been wanting to say, to tell the people for a while. We do not want to live in a, what's that Sylvester Stallone movie where cops are everywhere? Is it Demolition Man or Judge Dredd or both?
Just one of Dredd. Those two. One of those two futuristic movies.
Yeah, cops are everywhere, right? And they're judging you on your acts right away. And, you know, that's how everyone's kept in line. Nobody wants that. Nobody is asking for that. So what in turn is what you need is the ability to defend yourself whenever, if the time comes. You know, I'm a tool guy. I love tools. I have tons of tools. There's very few tools that provide me and my students and our loved ones with this capacity of not just equalizing ourselves, but being superior to someone who's trying to victimize us. And that is the firearm. That is the quintessential, some people call them equalizer, but I say you need to have superior firepower than somebody has to do who's trying to victimize you. And guess what? You can be victimized with a firearm, a knife, a bat, a car, right? And what is more, you know, beneficial to you than having this fantastic tool of plastic and metal and mechanical intricacies than this tool that allows you to protect yourself. So let me share a very quick story. Last night, Riverside County Sheriff Bianco was in a town hall. I was watching him on Instagram. And people were asking him about the situation with the CCWs. Hey, we hear that the state wants to make it increasingly, you know, difficult for us to carry firearms out there. And he said, in the Riverside County, I am not going to enforce any of those unconstitutional laws. And that's fantastic. But one thing that caught my attention the most was somebody in the comment section of Instagram, a woman, who said, I've been wanting to get my CCW, but I hear that it's too expensive. Guess what makes it too expensive? The laws.
Legislation.
The laws. Yeah. Exactly. The gun control laws that these knuckleheads in Sacramento come up with, right, for the purposes of keeping us safe. But all they do is create incredible restrictions and barriers of access to the good people. The people who, like that woman, I don't know her living situation. She could be single mom or whatever, a single woman, like I've had students, who have to live in the real world and not like our politicians who live in their ivory towers.
Mm-hmm.
And so what
on that note.
Yeah, please.
Sorry. I just wanted to add, I'm a female. I'm married. I'm not single, but my husband can't be with me every second of every day.
Right.
You know, I have a right to defend myself, my kids. And I did, I mean, Phil knows about it. I had a situation last year. I had to call the police. In the time between the police got here, I had my gun loaded and ready to go because I had an actual threat.
Yes. And I've heard, and I'm glad it worked out for you, but I've gotten those stories from my students. They get that shock of reality. Something like that happens to them. I've had them tell me stories like that when they were at home or stories like that when they were not at home. Should you not have your right to defend yourself wherever you are at? But we have politicians saying, oh, we need to have a law for sensitive places. What? As if people don't get targeted in sensitive places. Come on now. Stop it with that nonsense. So what I want to encourage any and everyone who's listening to my voice or watching this video, please advocate for your rights assertively. Do not apologize for wanting to defend yourself with the best tool available to you. Do not apologize to anyone. Do not give in to anyone. Because guess what? They do not live your life. You live your life. Your life is your most valuable possession, not theirs.
Yeah, completely agree. And especially with the sensitive places argument. I mean, you're creating the entire state is now one giant soft target for people who want to do evil, which is they know, well, nobody can carry here. Nobody can carry there. No one can carry in a grocery store. Lots of places that lots of people come and congregate. So they know they're soft targets and they know that they can just go in there. And no one's allowed to carry and defend themselves. It's a lot harder for someone who wants to perpetrate evil. If they know, I'm going to go into a place and I'm not only, the people are going to be shooting back at me. So, you know, a lot of these people at the end of the day, they're mostly cowards because, you know, they're mostly cowards. They don't want to get in a firefight. They don't want to have any confrontation. So this is where they're at. And politicians try and make the entire state a sensitive place. Just are putting us in danger because now we can't defend ourselves. So
the number one
in the chat said it was Judge Dredd was the movie.
Judge Dredd. Thank you. The number one incentive for someone with a criminal intent to carry out that a deed is believing that they can get away with it. That is the number one incentive.
Actually, I have a kind of interesting story. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting. I have kind of an interesting story about carrying. So a few years ago, there was an incident in a neighboring city. I believe it was an armed robbery. And there was like three or four of them, and they fled. And one of them got away and actually ran into my church building. It was during the summer. And they had to lock down all the buildings, the neighboring buildings. But it was determined that he was actually hiding out in my former church. The week prior to that incident, there was Vacation Bible School with a bunch of, you know, like preschool through fifth grade age kids, hundreds. It's a pretty big church. There was hundreds of kids all week long there. My friend is a former Marine, and his kids were actually in that program, and he was working from home, but he decided to go work at the church that day on his laptop. He carries, concealed carries. And he was just there the week prior with all the kids. And he's like, if this incident had happened, there's kids at risk. It was an armed man who came, and he's like, but I would have been there. I had my gun. I would have been ready to go. I'm a trained, you know, Marine. Not that he had to be trained, but he's like, I had carry. I was sitting right there. I would have been able to, before the police even found him, I would have had the situation taken care of and protected those kids.
A fighting chance.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's so wrong about that?
Yeah. Is that so much to ask for? Is we want a fighting chance? But I guess in the name of freedom, we can't do that, according to Gavin Newsom. Having a fighting chance is too much in the name of freedom.
Right.
Air quotes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's always an adventure when it comes to the Second Amendment here in California, but I think the tide is turning, at least at the Supreme Court level, which helps a lot because California can't overrule the Supreme Court. So that helps. And advocates like yourself, Osvaldo, who are out there on the front lines pushing. We need a lot more of you guys out there and educating people. That's the most important thing. The fact that you educate people, train them. I feel like education is the number one thing when it comes to guns. People who don't know anything about guns are very scared until the minute they actually pick one up and try it out. And they say either one thing, they go, hey, this is actually pretty fun. I enjoy this. And which it's not as scary as I thought it was. And I think I want to get one for myself. With that, is there any final thoughts that you have, Osvaldo? We'll let you take the final thoughts for tonight as our guest, regarding whether it's the shootings or what Noodle said in these videos. Take it away.
Thank you so much. First of all, thank you for having me here. What I want to say is to your audience, advocate for your rights. Your rights can only be protected by you. And a right that is not exercised is a right that you do not have. So exercise all of your rights. That's all.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Yeah. And as always, as I like to finish out every show, if you best thing you can do to support, share it with somebody, text someone, email them, AOL instant messenger them, however you want to do it. I don't care. Send them an old school letter, carrier pigeon, let them know about the show, say, hey, you should tune into the show. They got some good stuff. And we're here every Thursday night at 8 p.m. You can also listen to us on Spotify, Apple, Google. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, review, all of that stuff. And we'll see you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Peace.